Good morning, everyone. Just thank you. It's a real privilege to be able to bring the word of the Lord this morning. For those, I think there are some that don't know me, or some that I don't recognize, but my name is Wayne. I have my wife there, Marie. I have two children, and they are visiting in Bethlehem, and then next week they'll be joining us. So we're looking forward to that. The word that I have this morning, if I had to title it, it would be called Abiding in the Vine. So I'm going to minister out of John 15. For me, it holds something special, which I'll share now. But I think going into this new season, I won't say a new season, but into a holiday season, sometimes it's very easy to lose focus. So I would say, I hope within this word that for all of us, that we just remain focused on Christ and that we don't stray. Okay. So, around this word, so it's John 15, abiding in the vine. When I was a young man in the Lord, it's probably the late 90s, and I went on an apostolic encampment in Citrusdale, and I had a very close relationship with one of the elders, and it was at that encampment, he pulled me aside, and he took an afternoon. And he discipled me, and he taught me a principle of abiding in the vine. So you must understand, at the time, I was still very young in the Lord. I really didn't know very much about anything regarding the Word and regarding the Lord. And what he had said to me was that, and life was good at the time. You must understand, as a Christian, everything was going good. But he said to me, in my walk and in my journey, there's going to come challenges. Whether it be finances, whether it be relationships, whether it be work, it can be many, many things. But you're going to face challenges, and it's not always going to work out the way you want it to work out. And then he said, also in my walk with the Lord, and it's great when I'm experiencing the presence of the Lord and prayers are being answered quickly. It's wonderful. But there will be seasons when it's not like that. And so it doesn't sound very encouraging at the time. It didn't sound very encouraging to me. But he said to me, if I do John 15 well, I will always transition through it. Whatever the trial may be, I will always transition through it. So, and I really, for myself, I took it to heart. And you can turn so long to John 15. I'll try my best to explain exactly what it meant for me. Before I go there, I just want to share a little bit on discipleship. Because John 15 is something that Jesus took his disciples apart and he shared with them. He empowered them and equipped them for what was coming. So Christ was going to the cross. He was going to be crucified. He was going to be resurrected and then ascended to heaven. But a whole lot of persecution was about to come to the disciples. And this was an equipping that Jesus gave them to endure what was about to come. So the first thing regarding discipleship that I want to share is that in the Strong's Concordance, just very basically, when it talks about a disciple, it says a disciple is a follower. So we say a disciple of Christ is a follower of Christ. Okay? I think sometimes it's so easy to be distracted, but also so easy to get involved with good things and sometimes lose focus. It's happened with me many, many times. Doing good things, but sometimes to lose focus. It is about the King. It is about the Lord. Andre shared, I think it was last week or the week before. I don't know if you can remember. And he said that about beholding the Lord. And it's a scripture where John the Baptist, he's busy baptizing. And, we often joke in charismatic terms when we say the man with the power for the hour, John the Baptist. And everybody's running and getting baptized and they're repenting and things are happening. But when Christ arrives, he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold him. And I think in abiding in the vine, the whole focus of abiding in the vine is to behold him. Okay, no matter what season that we're in. So we're talking about going into a season. It's a holiday period right now and everything. But this is a word for all seasons. In all times in our lives, no matter what we're going through, is to behold him before us. Amen. Jesus differentiated. When I first read this in the Bible, I must be honest, it was a tough chew for me. If you have a look, I don't want to differentiate between believers and disciples. So Jesus is ministering here to his disciples, and there were many that believed in Jesus. Many came. Jesus said the crowds came, and they came to receive from him, and they got healed, and they got their eyesight restored, and a whole lot of things that they received from the Lord. But many chose never to follow. I don't know if you've seen that. And then there were examples in the Bible where there were some that chose to follow. And when things got difficult, the Bible says that they turned back and they followed no more. I pray it not be so with us. No matter how hard it might be, I don't know if you know the scripture where Jesus said that. He's speaking to the crowds and to his disciples, and he said, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And I think, I must be honest, I was there. I think, I don't know what I'd do. I wouldn't know what that would mean. But it says, a lot of them said that were following at the time, this is a hard saying. But they decided then to turn away and to follow no more. I want to just highlight something about a disciple. Is a disciple, like we said in the beginning, is a follower of Christ. Amen. He's a follower of Christ. He beholds Christ before him. When Jesus sent out an invitation regarding discipleship, and I'm not even going to, try and go through all the invitations that Jesus gave regarding discipleship. But if you go through the word, you'll see that Jesus always preempted discipleship, the invitation that he gave with an if. So Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, pick up your cross, come and follow me. And then another example in the Bible, Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, he said, you can't be my disciple unless you count the cost first. So there is a place of counting the cost before choosing to be a disciple. Amen. So I want you just to close your eyes, not for long. And I just want you to imagine, I'm going to be imagining along with you, that you are Jesus' disciple. You're not a theologian. You're just simply a disciple. You're a fisherman, a tax collector. Jesus has picked you up and you've decided that you're going to follow, that you are going to walk with him. And before we read John 15, just imagine that you've got no filters and nothing. Jesus is now going to minister his word to us, his disciples. Amen. Okay. You can open your eyes. We're going to go tonight to John 15. So position your heart. I'm positioning my heart in that way. Say, Lord, as a child that's hungry, teach me your word. Amen. So I'm going to read from verse 1, John 15. So I'm going to read from till verse 15, and then I'm just going to go back and highlight some scriptures that we're going to go through. But I'm first going to read it through. I'm reading from the NET. My version has a heading. It's called The Vine and the Branches. Jesus speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He takes away every branch that does not bear fruit in me, and he prunes every branch that bears fruit, so that it can bear more fruit. You are clean already because of the word that I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. So that word remain, so that's what we're speaking about this morning. It's a word called abiding. And it really just means to stay there and to make your home there, your permanent place of residence. Verse 4 says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it remains in the vine, So neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the true vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can accomplish nothing. If anybody does not remain in me, he is thrown out like a branch and dries up. And such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire and they burned up. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is honored by this, that you bear much fruit, that you can show yourself to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I've also loved you. Remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this, that you love one another as I've loved you. And no one has greater love than this, than the one that lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And then Jesus says to his disciples, he says, I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not understand what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have revealed to you everything I've heard from the Father. So, I want to touch three things in those scriptures. It's scriptures one could teach for 3 weeks on. But I just want to highlight three things. So, three things in those scriptures that Jesus is now speaking to his disciples and preparing them for what is to come. And he tells them that they must abide in three things. Okay? They must abide in him. They must abide in his word. And they must abide in his love. It's the three places that Jesus is telling his disciples that they must stay there and remain there. At that place. I'm going to quickly just read verse 4 and 5 again. So that's the first one. It says, remain in me. Jesus saying, remain in me, in his person, in his presence, and I will remain in you. What an awesome promise. When we choose to remain in Christ, that he makes a promise back to us and says he will remain in us. He says, just as you cannot bear fruit, that you cannot bear fruit by yourself. Let me read that again. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remains in the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. I just want to say it's a prioritizing. The disciples prioritize their time to spend with Jesus. It's a prioritizing of one's time to be in his presence. Okay. For me, there's no recipe here. It's something that you need to work out with the Lord and what that looks like. But it does look like something. It looked like something to the disciples. And it didn't seem to bother Jesus that the disciples were quite wildly different. So if you can imagine now, you're still the disciple, you're there, Jesus is teaching. And John is lying on his breast. You know, how's that going down? Peter is there and he's saying he can do all things and he can do this and endure this and da-da-da and da-da-da. He ends up denying, gets restored, and then he's entrusted in the last book of John to feed the sheep of the Lord. So I want to say there's no recipe in this, but the principle is to abide in Christ, to behold him in all situations and in all places. I think in Revelation chapter 2, it says, he's got to be our first love. He's got to take that first place. Amen. So the first abiding is abiding in the Lord, abiding in his presence, time spent with him. Now, I don't want to highlight exactly, I have my own way, what worship should look like, what the word should look like in the studying of the word and in prayer. That is something that we work out before the Lord. And sometimes my seasons change as well, as the Holy Spirit would lead. But my time must be set apart to abide in him. Amen. And then if you can have a look, we'll move on to the next one, verse 7. So, verse 7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. I must be honest, I struggle to grasp at that promise and the depth of it. I'm a work in progress. Said, my Father is honored by this, that you bear much fruit and that you show that you are my disciples. So we see the second thing that Jesus says that the disciples should remain in is to remain in his word. In the Greek, that word is called rhema. And just the basic or the simplistic part of that word is that which is uttered, that which was spoken. So you must understand, again, we're now the fishermen and the tax collectors. Now we're sitting at Christ's feet. The disciples, this wasn't something that was aloof or confusing. When Jesus said to the disciples that they need to abide in his word, they knew exactly what the Lord was saying. The Lord had taken them aside and discipled them and taught them what they needed to do. And he's saying, and I'm just thinking for the disciples, the Lord is preparing what is coming. A lot is going to come because of the word's sake. A lot of persecution was on their way. And the Lord is saying, you've got to abide in my word. You've got to abide in what I've taught you. And we have a look at the Sermon on the Mount. Now, you know, I just encourage you, go through the Gospels. Look at what Christ taught. I obviously cannot do it this morning. But just to highlight, if you look at the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord is giving a blueprint of the government of heaven to his disciples. He's showing his disciples on what principles heaven operates. On the Sermon on the Mount, the disciples knew these things. They were taught. You look at further down, and for me, this is just like super cool. But the Christ teaches his disciples about the authority of his kingdom, right? And in his kingdom, Christ is king, right? He's not president. It's not a democracy. He's king. And then he starts, and what Christ does is he delegates an authority to his disciples. And we see in the scripture that he then sends them out two by two. And what happens is they cast out demons. They heal the sick. They restore sight to the blind. And obviously they return and they're very happy. And Jesus says to them, just to bring in a balance, he says, don't rejoice in these things. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. But then Jesus also comes on alongside and he says to them, he saw Satan fall at the works that they were doing. They were exercising the authority of the kingdom of heaven. So these disciples, it wasn't something aloof that Jesus said to them that you need to abide in my word. They knew exactly what Jesus had taught them and built into them. And Jesus is saying, what is coming against you? You need to abide in my word. You need to hold on to it. You need to keep it before you. We look at that word abide, a word to remain there, to stay there, and to make your home there. Amen. I want to share just a quick short thing regarding the parables and why I open up with the thing on discipleship is that in the parable of the sower, and I'm not going to teach on the parable, but the parable of the sower, I trust that many of you have heard about the parable of the sower, but Jesus says to his disciples, he spoke to the crowds and he taught the parable of the sower. And nobody understood, not even the disciples understood what Jesus had taught. Okay? And what happens is, Jesus takes his disciples apart, and he's sitting with them, and he realizes that they don't have a clue of what he has just taught. And there's confusion, and they're all talking amongst each other. And then Jesus says to his disciples, if you do not understand this parable, how would you understand any parable? So as I say, if you get into the parable of the sower, go through it. It's most important. But the important thing about the parable of the sower is Jesus says the sower sows the word and the word of the kingdom. That is what was sown, the word of the kingdom. And then it gets sown into different grounds. But the thing is, the disciples, then asked Jesus, why do you teach in parables? What did Jesus say? He says, the mysteries of the kingdom were not given to them. They were given to you. The mysteries of the kingdom were given to disciples. The mysteries of the kingdom were given to those that made a decision to follow Christ no matter what. So what had happened was that Jesus had taken these disciples aside and they had followed closely with him. And none of the others were there. It was just them together. And he broke it down for them. And he started to share the mysteries around these parables and the parables of the kingdom of God. Amen. Does that make sense? All right. So we've looked at two things now. Jesus says to abide in him and to abide in his word. You can go to verse 9 of John 15. And here's the third command of abiding that Jesus gives to his disciples. Verse 9 says, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain or abide in my love. So we see that we abide in Christ, we abide in his word, and now he's saying that we need to abide in his love. Verse 10 says, if you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commandments, and I remain in his love. I've told you these things that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than he who lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do that which I command. Verse 9, just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Remain in my love. I only want to touch just one key principle or foundation regarding Christ's love. You could never exhaust it. We could teach you for months and months and months on the love of God and never ever exhaust the depth of how much he loves us. I just want to speak about just one key and one foundation. For me, that's absolutely vitally important, that God loved me before I loved him. God loved me before I loved him. The word says that God loved me. Now, I say I've walked with the Lord. I've chosen to follow. But God loved me when I was a sinner. God didn't love the sin. But the base of God's love is he loved me when I was a sinner. That is the great magnitude of his love. It says he loved the world so much that he sent his only son to die, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have eternal life in him. That is the great magnitude of God's love. And I think, what did I do to earn it? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I was a sinner, saved by grace. Amen? Remember, that is the base of God's love. And then it moves on. So Jesus says to his disciples, if you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments, and I remain in his love. Truthfully, to abide, as Jesus is teaching his disciples here, to be able to abide in him, to abide in his love, then I need to obey his commandment. So every time I choose, when Christ speaks to me, every time I choose to obey, every time I choose to say, yes, Lord, I will do that which you're asking me. Every time you choose to obey Christ, it's like pouring a love offering on God every time that we obey. We have this ability to bestow love back unto the Lord. So our obedience is a reflection, right? Is a reflection of our love for him. That's what the word says. Our obedience, when we obey him, it's a reflection of our love towards him. Amen. I just want to close or land with these. I've shared it with some of my friends, and they'll say, oh, yeah, they've heard this before. What I want to say is that where I was, and I had elders disciple me, and they spoke this other thing into my life regarding abiding. And it says the principle of three D's. So if you don't like it, it's not scriptural. You can throw it away. But I said it meant something for me. And the three D's in relation to abiding in Him. He says you have to start with the first D. You have to start with discipline. Not a lack of word in the new way of doing things in the world. To abide in the Lord, to abide in His word, and to abide in His love starts from a place of discipline. There is no other way. But the thing about discipline is, once it's had its full work, it produces desire. The second D. And once desire has had its full work, it produces delight. You cannot jump the process. Before I close, I just want to highlight something about disciples. I don't know how you felt. I had that word. I didn't know what was coming in my life. And after I got that word, I went through a whole lot of trials and challenges that happened in my life. With my finances, with certain things, in my journey with the Lord, from a place of really experiencing the presence of the Lord tangibly to not experiencing the presence of the Lord tangibly. Difficult season, difficult. But what I did was, out of a place of discipline, I told the Lord, sometimes it wasn't good, but I showed up. You know, I don't know how better to put that. I showed up. I chose to abide, although the abiding did not look, I'll be honest with you, did not look great, but I showed up. I would encourage you with that. I've been in situations where in my journey with the Lord, when things have been extremely difficult, and if I really had to get in those difficult times and look at my walk and think, sure, my walk has looked better before. My obedience has looked better before. And sometimes, I don't know how you felt, sometimes it's made me feel like I want to just give up and think, I've been before the Lord and said, Lord, I just can't do this. I cannot do this. I cannot press through this thing because it's so difficult. And regarding discipleship, the Lord said to me, He said, Wayne, you cannot do this. You need my grace and you need the power of my spirit to walk as a disciple. But my spirit will not choose for you. You have to choose to do the walk. You have to choose to follow. I have the backing. When we choose to follow, we have the backing of heaven behind us to empower us on that journey when we follow. But we must choose to follow. It's a choice we make before the Lord. I'm going to close it there. I'm going to ask each one to close their eyes. And in your heart right now, and I'm standing with you guys this morning, in my heart right now. And wherever you find yourself, put yourself at the feet of the Lord and at His teaching. And maybe you've never ever made a commitment to say, Lord, I choose to follow. That I count the cost. I see that, yep, there's going to be things that I'm going to face in this life, things that are going to work out for me, things that are not going to work out for me. But I'm going to follow. So I'm going to ask you just, if you would make that decision in your heart this morning, say, Lord, no matter what happens, I choose to follow you. Even when I do not understand where the path is leading or where the path is going, that I don't understand why my circumstances look the way they look, I choose to follow you. So I'm going to pray a prayer this morning, and I'll just ask you within your own heart, if you want, pray it with me before the Lord. Lord Jesus, I ask you this morning, Lord, as we make a decision this morning before you to follow you, Lord, I ask you to come and to empower us this morning to walk the walk and to talk the talk. Lord, we don't purpose to do this thing in our own power. Lord, we acknowledge our desperate need for your Spirit. And Lord, as we heal and as we surrender ourselves, our hearts before you, Lord, I ask you to come and to take the throne of our lives this morning. Lord, we acknowledge your kingdom, and we acknowledge that you are the King of your kingdom. May our obedience exalt you and glorify you, Lord. I pray that our lives, Lord, will bear the good fruit of the kingdom that glorifies the Father. Lord, I want to honor and thank you that you are faithful to complete what you have begun, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that boldly each and every one of us can go out in this journey as a disciple, knowing, Lord, that you are with us and that you would never leave us nor forsake us. I ask you, Lord, to seal that in our hearts this morning, Lord, that decision that we make before you, Lord, that we want to be your disciple. We choose to follow you. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.